Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. ART has been recording some lost shows from The Adventures of Sam Spade, starring our own Ivan Curry as Sam. Here's one of our first ones, The Blood Money Caper.
The hair-raising adventures of Sam Spade, detective, brought to you by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
Hello, sweetheart. It's me, Sammy the Spade.
Sam, is it over? Who's behind the battle of Montgomery Street?
Well, I'll tell you all about it when I get there. What a day. I even had a fight with a, I guess you'd call it a woman.
Why, everyone knows you can lick any woman your weight.
Not this one. Sharpen a couple of pencils, sweetheart. I'll be right over to dictate my report on the Blood Money Caper.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, presented each Sunday by Wild Root Cream Oil. The non-alcoholic hair tonic that will put your hair back in place again. Grooming it neatly, naturally, the way you want it. Why does a girl turn thumbs down on a man? Well, here's one very important reason. According to a recent survey, 97 out of 100 girls dislike a man whose hair is either unkempt or too slicked down. So don't look that way. Spruce up with Wild Root Cream Oil. It grooms your hair neatly and naturally. And as our survey shows, that's exactly how girls like to see it. Non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil contains lanolin, the soothing oil that's so much like the oil of your own skin. 4 out of 5 users in a nationwide test preferred Wild Root Cream Oil, and you'll like it too. And now, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Oh, Sam, your eye. Did she hurt you?
Ah, nuts. I just ran into a closed fist. Get your book. Let's get started.
Get any of the $10 million, Sam?
Yeah, all of it. But there's a hole in my pants pocket. Come on, shake the lead out of your pencil.
Look what I got, Sam. It writes underwater.
Well, for this report, you'll need one that writes under Humphrey Bogart. Put it on our best stationery. It's going to the president of the Golden Gate Trust Company. What's left of it. Ready?
I'm always ready, Sam.
Dear Mr. Newhall, you may consider this my final report. There's nothing more I can do or want to do. From here out, your daughter Anne is your problem. 2 weeks ago, you retained me to check on her movements. You suspected she was seeing a man known as Red O'Leary. You also said you feared he was a, quote, a disreputable character. Well, you were right on both counts. On the night of September 16th, I picked up the subject, your daughter, at the Blue Bottle Bar and Grill. She and Mr. O'Leary were seated in a booth in the rear, punishing the phony scotch. I kept a plant on them, and during the next 10 days, they met regularly at the Blue Bottle. They never went anywhere else, just sat and talked. That is, Anne talked, Red listened. This routine continued until last night. I trailed them to a joint called Big Flora's on Telegraph Hill. I cooled my heels outside for a while, and I then went in after them.
Yeah, another one over here.
Big Flora's was a new gin mill on the hill. Well, it had been going less than a month, but it was going strong. I drifted over to the bar, threw a fast case around the place. No local guns, strictly an out-of-state mob. O'Leary and your daughter were in a side booth. Big Flora herself pinned me with a look when I entered. She stood at least 5'10" in my stocking feet, broad-shouldered, deep-bosomed, thick-armed, a pink accordion-pleated throat, a handsome, brutal face.
Just get in town, dearie, or are you the local talent?
I'm from KC. That make you happy?
KC, huh? Pobie?
Pobie Pushkin? He's still eating Jude.
Know him, huh? What's your name?
I got a dozen. You like Little Morphy?
Little Morphy's dead.
Yes, I know. I was with him in the busted caper that croaked him. He gave me his name before he died.
Well, if that's so, you must be a right guy. Shake!
Ow!
What's the matter, kid? You soft? Come on, this calls for one on the house. Out of my way, Papadopoulos. Big Flora's mixing these herself. This boy is from Kansas City. Meet my bartender, Papadopoulos.
Papa who?
Papadopoulos, pleased to make your acquaintance.
Was there anyone here in particular you wanted to meet?
Well, how about that gold-plated mouse over there?
Her? Uh-uh, that's Red O'Leary's property. Miss Ann Newhall. She came in here slumming, I think they call it. Her and Red looked at each other, and dearie, that was a look. Love, I think they call it.
Yes, to talk to her might encourage trouble.
You shut up!
Please, I did not mean anything. No, Flora, no, don't strike me again.
Stop shaking, Papadopoulos. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at anyone tonight.
Oh, I am so glad, Flora. It is nice to see you so happy.
Flora, I gotta see you in private.
Sure, take over, honey. I gotta talk to this boy. Come in the back room, Blue Point.
Yes, Flora, dear.
Hey, why do you let her knock you around like that, Pap? Ain't you got a union?
What can I do?
Well, who's the gun she took in the back room?
Some gangster, I think. Vance is his name. Blue Point Vance.
Uh-huh. Quite a few guns here this evening. There's Patty the Mix. I haven't seen him since the days of the old beer mob. Fat Boy Clark. Cokie Harmon. That frizzy blonde dame is Angel Grace Cardigan, isn't it?
Believe me, everyone here is a criminal. They've been drifting in here ever since that Red O'Leary came to San Francisco.
A new mob? Red O'Leary, the big gun?
Please, I know nothing of such matters.
Well, any idea what's the caper?
I have no idea.
Flora know?
Flora don't know. She likes anybody that brings money into the place.
Smart gal, Flora.
Yes. I must wait on the customer. Excuse me.
I looked up. Big Flora was coming out of the back room with Blue Point Vance. They laughed about something, and he walked away. Then Flora went over and whispered to Ann Newhall. Looking a little frightened, Ann got up and followed her into the back room. Red gave her a reassuring smile as she disappeared through the curtains. I went over to Red's table.
What you want, Seamus?
Mind if I sit down?
Yeah, I mind. But it looks like you don't mind.
Red, why don't you leave the girl be? This isn't her crowd.
Look, Spade, I don't mind your tailing us. That's the way you make your living. But let's keep it formal, shall we?
Okay, Mr. O'Leary, let's. Who's the boss gun of this mob?
Mob? What mob?
Oh, don't be coy. There's not a face in this room that doesn't have a picture of it. Front view and profile with a number under it.
Why are you telling me?
My job is to look after Ann Newhall.
Well, go ahead if you think she needs it.
She needs it. She's drinking too much and it's beginning to show.
You're not a snob, are you, Sammy?
Why should a kid that's got everything throw it away for what you've got, which is nothing?
You sound like you wish you'd throw it all your way.
I do indeed, Red. I do indeed.
Now look, Sam. I've been walking the straight and up, well, ever since I left Chicago.
That's what you told her?
That's what I told her, and that's what I'm telling you.
It couldn't be that you're rushing Ann Newhall because she knows her way around the Golden Gate Bank.
Use your head, Sammy. You couldn't blow the Golden Gate with A-bombs.
Ann might know what day the time locks are sprung, or she might find out from her daddy.
Use your head, Sammy. Montgomery Street is crawling with cops, bank guards who can lay their hands on more heavy artillery in 30 seconds than this mob ever saw in their lives.
Guys have been crazy enough to try it.
Not this guy.
Good. Now, what about Ann Newhall?
What about Ann Newhall, Mr. Spade?
Hello, Miss Newhall.
Sammy doesn't believe I've gone straight, Ann.
Why do you waste your time talking to a sneaky gumshoe like him anyway, Red?
I felt like talking to him. You got any objections?
Oh, of course not, Red, darling. I just thought, maybe you thought you had to be nice to him because he's working for Father.
He thinks he's working for you.
Well, he's not. Mr. Spade, I'm tired of being followed around. Red is very well qualified to protect me, and if you don't leave us alone, I'm going to ask him to protect me from you. Do I make myself clear?
Okay, sweetheart, I'll call your old man in the morning and tell him I'm through. And I'm going to tell him why I'm through.
Oh, because Red threatened you, I suppose.
No, sweetheart, that's not why. The why is because you aren't worth protecting. I went home, tried to forget Ann Newhall. I did, pretty nearly. But I couldn't shake the hunch I had about the mob in Big Flora's place. I kept thinking about them and about your bank, Mr. Newhall, your bank, and the bank that faced it across the street on Montgomery. It contained a good part of the cash money in the city of San Francisco. For a mob of cheap gunsels to knock over every one of those banks would be like splitting Gibraltar with a BB gun. But supposing the cops were really masterminded, 100 really tough guns, they might crack both of them at once. I'd counted 30 in Big Flora's alone, and they were still coming in when I left. That was a cute hunch, but wild. I decided to sleep on it, and next morning I was reaching for the phone to call you. Oh, and it rang. Yes?
Mr. Spade, this is Taylor Newhall.
Oh, yes, Mr. Newhall. I was just going to call you. About your daughter.
Yes, Mr. Spade, about my daughter. There's no point in your continuing on that job. I've decided that Mr. O'Leary is all right.
Are you feeling all right this morning, Mr. Newhall?
Yes, Mr. Spade.
Just a minute, Newhall. Mr. Newhall, are you calling from a bank?
No, I'm at home. I decided not to go into the bank today.
Well, you're a lucky man, Mr. Newhall.
What do you mean by that?
I'm looking out my window toward Montgomery Street, Mr. Newhall, and I can barely see your bank for the gun smoke.
What's that? I can't hear you.
I can't hear myself. I'll call you back, Mr. Newhall. I couldn't see the bank buildings distinctly, but the block between Kearney and Montgomery told me enough. 10 police squad cars were piled up near the corner, and the cops had been mowed down as they crawled out of the wreckage. The bandits had started the caper by knocking over the garage where the banks keep their armored trucks, and they mowed down the law as fast as it could come in. A police grenade blew one of the trucks sky high, and the cops moved in another few yards, but the gunsels had thrown up a barricade behind it and held their lines. Guns chattering, grenades exploding, sirens screaming, and the yells of the battling men, well, it was like a soundtrack of All Quiet on the Western Front. The Battle of Montgomery Street had begun.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting Blood Money, an adventure by Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. In just 21 words, I can sum up for you the reason why more and more men are using Wild Root Cream Oil all the time. And here they are. Mainly because Wild Root Cream Oil has the advantages that men expect from a fine hair tonic without the disadvantages they sometimes find. Yes, that's the gist of it. Now, what real man wants a tonic that plasters his hair and gives it that greasy, sissified look? Well, Wild Root Cream Oil never does that. It grooms your hair naturally, without a trace of that slick-down appearance. And what man wants a hair tonic that makes him smell like a perfume factory? Wild Root Cream Oil never does that either. This grand, non-alcoholic product has just a slight, masculine fragrance. Besides, it really does a thorough job of grooming. Keeps your hair handsomely in trim, and relieves annoying dryness, and removes those ugly flakes of dandruff. And remember, there's not a single drop of alcohol in Wild Root Cream Oil. What's more, it contains soothing lanolin. So get your big economy size at the drug or toilet goods counter near you. And next time you visit your barber, ask him to use Wild Root Cream Oil on your hair. And now, back to Blood Money, tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
By 12 o'clock, the Battle of Montgomery Street was over. On the desk in my office, the afternoon papers screamed the news of the Siemens National and Golden Gate Trust double looting in five colors. The returns weren't all in yet, but the score stood at 16 coppers knocked off, three times that many wounded, and 12 innocent spectators, bank clerks, and the like killed. The bandits had lost 7 known dead and 31 prisoners. The others, 100-odd, had made a clean getaway using ordinary cars that were easily lost in traffic. I was reading the newspaper guesses as to the size of the loot, around $10 million.
Sam, there's a man outside. I think he's been shot. Oh, there's blood just all over.
Stay in here. I'll see him in the outside office. What do you mean coming in here, messing up my carpets?
They jumped me. It started.
What started? You need a doctor.
You gotta listen to me, Spade. I don't think I got much more time. I got 5 slugs in me. I'm Blue Point Vance.
Yeah, you're a pal of Big Flora's, one of the mob in the Montgomery Street push. What else? Well, he talked. The way he told it, the mob was split up into 10 groups. Each group had a leader. Each leader received a map and a detailed plan of his part of the operation. But none of them knew who made the plans. Each one took his orders from the group leaders just ahead of him like a chain letter scheme. Blue Point was the top link in the chain. I asked him who was the Eisenhower.
Don't know. Every man's cut, $100,000. Every one of us knocked off ups the divvy for the others, see? That's what I mean. It started, see?
Yeah, but who'd you get your orders from?
Come
on, Blue Point, try. Who was it?
It was Red. Red O'Leary.
Red, huh? I was afraid of that. Effie?
Yes, Sam? Dead?
Yeah. Call homicide. Tell him to get the boys up here with the basket. Take the rest of the day off.
Did he tell you anything?
Some, Effie. Some. Blue Point Vance said it had started. It had. They were dropping all day long, in alleys, singly at first. Happy Jim Hacker and Ratface. Then in twos and threes, and finally 24 mowed down where they lined up against a wall in a house on Fillmore Street. And for every mobster killed, there was a bigger chunk of blood money per man among the survivors. Around 6 in the evening, I walked up Telegraph Hill to Big Flora's. The neon sign was dark, curtains drawn tight over the windows, and a sign on the door said, "Closed for alterations." I climbed a flight of stairs to Big Flora's rooms over the saloon. Pounded on the door.
Well?
Wacky Washburn sent me.
Step inside. We'll talk in here. The parlor's in use.
So it's you, Flora. Oh, I thought I heard the door. Oh, excuse me.
I told you to keep your trap shut in front of our guests.
No, please, Flora, I will be good. Don't strike me again.
So you and Papadopoulos are at it again. Is he your husband?
Him? Does little man love his big Flora?
No, Flora, please, not that.
What's the matter, honey? Don't you like to be hugged?
Oh, yes, Flora, yes, but remember last time, my ribs, and they had to tape me up.
You should have heard him squeal when I pulled off the adhesive. Sit down, honey, before you fall down. You too.
Thanks.
All right, you. Talk. Who, what, and why?
I'm Percy McGuire. And I want my $150,000.
Listen, Percy, you got a bill, you got to give it to the big gun.
I don't even know who it is.
That makes two of us.
But Flora, that is not true. He's coming here this evening.
What was that you said, dearie?
Now, Flora, darling. No, Flora, no. I did not mean to say anything wrong. I swear I did not.
I'll kill you. So help me, this time I'll kill you.
No.
Oh, come on, that's enough of that.
Who says so?
Well, I say so. Pick on someone your own size.
You look about my weight.
You better not, Flora. You might get hurt.
Oh, defend yourself, man. Defend yourself.
Okay, sister, you asked for it. Well, I got the worst of it from the beginning. She led with her right like a woman, but what I didn't know was that she was a southpaw. I got in a couple where they should have counted, but where most women are soft, she had muscle. I was punchy before the round was over. And when somebody rang the doorbell, I was on the carpet, saved by the bell.
Pardon me while I answer that door, Mr. McGuire. We'll finish this later. Oh, let me just take your gun. Whew! Getting old, out of condition, but we had fun, didn't we? Help him up, Papadopoulos. Get him some water.
You are all right? You're not badly hurt?
My jaw's not broken.
Stay close by me this evening. We will help each other against that she-devil.
That wouldn't be the big gun she's letting in now.
Yes, it is time.
Step in here, kids. You know Papadopoulos, Mr. McGuire, Red O'Leary, and Miss Newhall.
McGuire, eh?
Miss Flora, Red is badly hurt.
Hurt? Why didn't you say so? What happened, Red? They jump you?
Slug in my neck. Can't move my arm.
Red thought you might know of a doctor we could trust.
Only doc I know got knocked off with that bunch on Fillmore Street.
Well, let me have a look at that, Red.
You a doc, Mr. McGuire?
I don't think he'd last to the hospital, and through the questioning they'd give him there before they touched this.
Oh, no, no, don't say that.
He's lost a lot of blood, but he's tough. The slug's stuck in the neck muscle. I can dig it out. You got any disinfectant in the house?
Nothing but a little bottle tincture of iodine, but it's mostly dried up.
You, listen carefully, Miss Newhall.
Yes?
Go down to the corner drugstore, get some alcohol, swabs, some iodine, cotton gauze, the kind with the blue cross on it. If he doesn't have that kind, tell him to phone out for some.
I don't know why. She don't look right to me. I don't know
if I ought to... Oh, shut up! Get in the kitchen and boil some water. Get some towels and clean rags. Come on, hurry up. I started digging the slug out of Red O'Leary's neck. It took about an hour. He was out most of the time, and then I put a bandage on it using Flora's iodine for disinfectant. He was still running a fever when he got to his feet wearing his lips in a grin. His right arm hung useless. He reached out with his left to pick up his shoulder holster, and the gun wasn't in it anymore. The other empty holster was mine.
Where's Flora?
I sent her out to boil some more water. Shall we talk?
Listen, there is no time for talk. I know that you sent that girl to phone the police, Mr. Spade. Yes, I also know that you are Sam Spade.
Anne's no stool pigeon. She wouldn't rat on me.
She would if she thought it was the only way of saving your life. And if she got what I was trying to tell her, that's what she thinks.
Why?
No.
He
is right, Mr. O'Leary. That she-devil will kill us all. Better the police. Spade, listen to me. Let me get out past the police, and I will give you everything.
Go on out. Who's stopping you?
Look out the window. Plainclothesmen watching the door, waiting for a squad car. I am old. I am sick. What have I to do with robberies? You have seen it here. I am a slave. I, who am near the end of my life. Abuse, cursing, beatings, and those are not enough. And now I must go to prison because of that she-devil? You will let me go out. I will give you that she-devil. I will give you the money they stole.
How can I get you out?
How not? You are a friend of the police. You can take me out past your friends, the police. Do what I ask, and I will give you the monies. $10 million. Make no mistake. When that she-devil comes back into this room, you will die. Both of you. She will kill you, certainly.
Papadopoulos!
That sounds like it's a little too late.
Where are you, you old hound?
In here, Flora.
Where is that stool pigeon?
Ha!
There you are. Put the police on me, will you?
Who, me? I tip the police?
You or that dame that came here with Red? You're done. Both of you. You hear me? Done!
No, wait, Flora. Not here like this, please. Don't give the police such evidence. Let me take them into the cellar.
Okay, but make it quick, dearie. Soon as that squad car gets here, they'll be pounding at the door. Call me when you're finished, and I'll help you haul them out of sight.
You, march ahead of me. If either one of you makes one move, I will shoot you. I am holding two guns on you.
Red and I walked ahead of Papadopoulos into the hall. I opened the door he indicated, switched on the basement light, and helped Red down the uneven flight of steps.
Listen to me. I will first show you the monies, and then I will give you that she-devil. You will not forget your promise? I shall go out through the police?
Sure.
How about me?
You think Big Flora would let a rabbit like him change her plans?
Oh, so Big Flora was the boss. That's a laugh.
Now, turn around, both of you. Here, take these.
What kind of joke is this supposed to be?
I give you these guns to show you I keep my promise. Now, quickly, follow me. I show you where the monies are hidden.
I followed him and Red O'Leary to the end of the low passageway. Papadopoulos got down on his knees and started clawing at the wall like a rat. With trembling hands, he lifted out a section of loose bricks, and then we saw it. It was still in the boxes and bags the way it came, carried from the banks. He insisted on opening some of them to show me the money, hundreds of bundles of green, stacked in a metal-lined cell that was as dry and airless as the bank vault they'd lived in before.
That, as you see, is the money. Now for that she-devil. You will stand hiding behind these boxes. When I bring her down the stairs, you will know what to do.
Yeah, Pappy, we'll know what to do.
He wasn't long in coming back. Flora came down the steps ahead of him. She had a gun in each hand. Her gray eyes were everywhere. Her head was down like an animal's coming to a fight. Her nostrils quivered, her body coming down, not fast, not slow. It was balanced like a dancer's. She was a beautiful, fight-bred animal.
Come out! Come out, or I'll come and get you!
Stay here, Spade. I want the first crack at that old
witch. Red, come back here, you fool Red! She dropped Red without moving a muscle that I could see. I guess the poor guy must have been a little feverish from his wound, running out in the open like that, firing wildly with his wobbly left hand. I didn't feel heroic myself. I just aimed the best way I knew from my ambush and squeezed the trigger.
Ow! You bumbling idiot! You shot the wrong one! You shot the wrong one!
My aim had been bad. I'd aimed for his leg, but got him in the side. After the last scream, he didn't make any more noise, and then he didn't move anymore. Big Flora let the guns fall from her hand and knelt down beside his body.
What did you do that for? I was the one with the gun on you. Why didn't you shoot me instead?
I figured who he was when you let him bring me down here where the money was without squawking your head off.
He was the smartest, kindest man that ever lived.
Yeah, smart enough and kind enough to put about 300 people out of their misery. Listen, Flora, don't you know he gave us guns and brought us down here so we'd knock you off and he'd have all the loot to himself?
He wasn't much of a man for muscle, but he had brains, see? He was smarter than you or any copper that ever lived. You killed a great man. I hope you feel good about it.
Yeah, you and he were a great team. Nobody would have suspected that the arch gun of the biggest mob in history was Big Flora's whipping boy.
I never wanted to bat him around like I had to. I never really hurt him. We used to laugh about it afterwards.
All right, down there. All your exits are covered. Come out with your hands clasped behind your necks. This is the police.
All right. Keep your shirt on. Come on, let's get it over. No use fighting anymore.
You really loved him, didn't you, Flora?
So what? Who are you to laugh at us?
Yeah, you're right, Flora. Who am I to laugh at you? After the cops had cleaned up at Big Flora's, I took your loving daughter on home in a taxi, Mr. Newhall. You can see the itemized account enclosed. She was pretty broken up about Red O'Leary's death, but I think she'll recover. Please don't leave either your $10 million or your daughter lying around loose again, as the entire incident has caused me a great deal of trouble. And I will therefore have to charge you my regular fee of $25 a day in expenses instead of the usual fee for tailing. Period. End of report.
Oh, Sam, I wish you'd just taken one little package of that money. They'd never have missed it.
Effie, I'm surprised at you. That wouldn't be ethical.
I don't know why you have to get ethical every time the installments due on the office furniture.
Hey, what's this?
Oh, a letter for you. Came this morning.
Well, why didn't you tell me? It's from the Golden Gate Trust. A reward for my services. Hurry up, open it. A check.
It's a check, all right.
How much?
$3.83.
Well, what's that for?
I don't know. It's made out to Big Flora's Bar and Grill. Signed by you and stamped Return for Lack of Funds.
How do you like that?
I'll get used to it, I suppose, in time. Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
Been listening to a recreation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater, The Blood Money Caper from Sam Spade. Recorded before a live audience at Radio Studio 2009 and directed by Greg Porter. You heard Ivan Curry as Sam Spade, with Marge Lutton as Effie, Melinda Maines as Anne Newhall, Pat McNally as Red O'Leary, Mary Moore Campagna as Flora, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Blue Point Vance, Dr. Bob Perks as the police voice, Greg Porter as Papadopoulos, and Kim Turner as Taylor Newhall. Engineering by Ron Ailey, musical playback by Joy Jackson. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg, Harry Thiel, and Marilyn Wilt. I'm Renaud LaBeouf, your announcer, and this is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Now let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
One Night Stand presents Leo Reisman and his orchestra. Here's Leo Reisman and his smooth, incomparable music, playing for your pleasure from the world-famous Wedgwood Room of the Waldorf Hotel in New York City. It is first to dance to the compelling tempos of Cole Porter's Every Time We Say Goodbye.
On that song were by handsome Vince Liddell, who will take care of the vocal chores from here on out. But now Leo Reisman goes into the mauve decade with the Surrey, the Fringe on Top. Thank you. Now, here from the orchestra is the song of that lucky sailor, Lucky to Be Me. Thank you, gentlemen. Let's open our music books now to the Few Years Ago department and listen to Limehouse Blues. Here's Climbing Aboard with Leo Reisman and Company, the Trolley Song. Have the right change, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Walter Romberg has written many melodies of enduring beauty. Here's his latest, and it's a worthy addition to the troupe. Close as pages in a book. With Dave Rose's Holiday for Strings. Thank you. Here's Cole Porter represented again on our show for now. I've got you under my skin. Thought of you. As Leo Reisman sees it, there are many ways of finding out whether the one you love returns your affection. There's just being sophisticated about it, or you can say is you is or is you ain't.
That's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. See you next time.